Now I can talk.
You can go to your Bibles, if you would, please, to John chapter 16. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 in your Bibles. Well, glory be to God. John chapter 14. And you know what else you should do? You should go to Isaiah chapter 45. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody comfortable? Yeah. Hallelujah. The devil's cruising for a bruising this morning. Amen? We're going to be talking about developing demanding power. We're going to be talking about our authority over Satan and demon power, sickness, disease, and poverty, and the curse of the law of sin and death. Amen? And how to exercise it. You know, faith comes how? That's right. That's Romans 10:17. Faith works by what?
Love.
By love. That's Galatians 5:6. But faith is released through the?
Mouth.
Helen? The mouth.
Amen.
Don't go back to whispering on me, Helen. I need you shouting today. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. You don't want to walk in love, your faith isn't going to work. Amen? And you're going to live in defeat. It's going to be your own fault, not God's. Amen? Faith is empowered by love. It comes by hearing. That's Romans 10:17 and Proverbs 4:20-22. It works by love, Galatians 5:6, but it's released through the mouth. Faith is released through the mouth. You can build up all the faith in the world by meditating on the Word of God. But if you won't walk in love, even when those times come when you would prefer anything else to it, we all been there. Amen? And then release that faith that you've developed through meditation in the Word and walking in love. If you won't release it through your mouth, it's not going to work for you. Paul said it, Moses said it, Jesus said it, everybody in the Bible said it. Faith is released through the mouth. Are you one of those name it and claim it? I would rather be a name it and a claim it than a doubt it and a live without it. Amen? It's disrespectful to call people name it and claim it. Grab it and blab it. These are the teachings of Jesus. These are principles Jesus revealed to us. The Holy Spirit revealed to us through Solomon and all the prophets, through Jesus and all of the apostles. It's disrespectful to call people who believe in the power of the spoken word name it and claim it. That's to call Jesus a name it and a claim it. Amen? He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. That word is confession. Amen? We're going to talk about that a little bit here today. But first, you're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45. Amen? I guess I should go there with you too, seeing it was my idea. It was actually the Holy Spirit's idea, so I should follow Him even as you follow Him. Amen? Look at this verse of Scripture right here. This is powerful, and we're going to talk a little bit around this here today. Amen? Let's see. Today's the Super Bowl is at what time? It's at 6-something? So we'd get you out of here by 5:45. You'd be okay. Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look right here, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask Me of things to come concerning My sons and concerning the work of My hands, command ye Me. Whoa. Hold on a minute there. Concerning the work of My hands, whenever we see a reference to God's hand in Scripture, it's a reference to His what? His power. Amen? Helen could preach these sermons for me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's a reference to His power. He said, concerning My power, command ye Me. Somebody said to me, people always say everything to me. You know that? People say the sweetest things to me, but they also say the dumbest things. Some people, you know. I'd never command God. You're not within your jurisdiction telling anyone they can command God. I didn't say command God. God said command ye Me. He's talking about placing a demand on the covenant. No one has a right to command God. But listen, this is the highest expression of friendship that God offers to humanity. He's saying here, you need My power available in your life? Tell Me where to direct it. Expect Me to do it as long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural, and I'll do it for you. He said it, not me. I always say I'm good, but I'm not that good. I didn't write that. I just preach it. And I apply it, and it works. Amen? Commanding the work, the power of My hands, He said, Command ye me. Listen, Moses did it with some of the plagues that he called down upon Israel. The flies and the frogs. When Pharaoh pleaded with him, take it back, take it back. Moses used the power of God and he commanded the curse of the frogs and the flies to stop, and they did. That's what God's talking about. Tell me where you need me to direct the power to advance the kingdom in the earth. I'll do it for you. Moses did it. Joshua did it, didn't he? He spoke to the sun and the moon. He said, be still. And the whole universe stopped at the word of a man directing God's power. This is the highest expression of friendship that God could offer you as His friend and as His family, first and foremost. We're not just servants of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And yes, women can do this too. We don't subscribe to the brand of Christianity that believes that men have more power than women. I'm tempted to use that crapola word again, but I don't want to do it because we have new people here today. So I won't say it. Galatians 3:28 says there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. Women have the same authority in Christ as men. Women can do what we're going to be talking about here today. I've seen 6-7-year-old girls put Satan on the run with the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? So concerning the work of my hands, listen, Jesus did it, didn't he? Didn't Jesus command the wind and the storms and the weather to line up? And they obeyed. Is that right? Well, the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. Jesus said in John 14:12, He said, the works that I do, you can do. Someone's pulling this right out of me today. Hallelujah. It's both sides of the room. I don't know where to go here. Concerning, He said, the works that I do, you shall do also, only greater works you will do, because I go to the Father to send the same Holy Ghost who was on me, enabling me, back to you to enable you. Not one miracle that Jesus performed in Scripture did He do as the Son of God. He did it as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit, to show us how our authority works. You want Scripture? Do you want Scripture? Thank you, Barbara. Philippians 2:7-10 says He humbled Himself like unto the fashion of man as a servant. One translation says He stripped Himself of deity and humbled Himself like unto the fashion of man. That's what the Bible says. He stripped Himself of His glory and His deity, came into the earth. And in Matthew 3, He went down to the River Jordan and was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He never performed a miracle before that, before being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Jesus was fully divine, yes, the Son of God, the only begotten Son. He's the only way to God. He's fully God, but yes, He's fully man. And He did everything He did as a Spirit-filled man to show us how we are to operate in the earth as Spirit-filled men and women. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. And that's your Scripture too, amen? We give you Scripture for everything around here, amen? I don't give you Scripture, God will remove me and put somebody in here who will give you Scripture. Amen? I don't want to go anywhere, so I'm giving you Scripture. You know, the apostles did this as well, didn't they? They used God's commanding power throughout the book of Acts. All the apostles commanded the sick to be healed. All the apostles cast out unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. That's the Great Commission. In Mark 16, we're going to talk about that. But first we're going to go to John 16. I want you to see something Jesus said. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is good already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 16 in your Bibles. Amen. Everybody has a Bible, right? Anybody have a Bible? Hallelujah. If you're ashamed of carrying your Bible to church, what's the solution? Put it in a sack till you get over it, but bring it here. Amen? Hallelujah. Write lunch on it. Because it is spiritual food. Amen? Hallelujah. John 16:23. This is Jesus now. Amen? Hallelujah. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. What day? When he goes back to heaven? When he goes back to heaven? See, the disciples used to go to Jesus for everything. Pretty much he did that praying for them. Pretty much he tapped into the resources of heaven for them. Amen? But he's saying now in that day, he's given them a little heads up. He's about to go to the cross, crucified, pay for the sins of humanity, be resurrected and ascend into heaven. When that day comes, you won't be able to ask me anything anymore. But verily, verily, or surely I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, if you'd circle that word right there, if you don't write in your Bible, throw it away. We'll get you one you can write in. Or I'll put it on the mantle if you don't want to throw it away. You need to be able to write in your Bible. Amen. Circle that. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. As long as it's scriptural. Amen. We know that, right? You can't just pray for, you know, Barbara to divorce me and marry you, John. Amen. God hates divorce. It's got to be biblical. You got to have scripture. That's why Jesus said in John 15:7, and the scriptures are going to come fast and furious today. Amen. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you can ask what you will. Then it will be granted unto you. You got to abide in the word. You got to know what the word says God's agreed to do. You can't just ask anything you want. You need to know what God promised in the word. Amen. So whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, as long as it's biblical, he'll give it to you. No doubt about it. No bother doubt it. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Go ahead and do it now. He said, ask. Circle that word, ask. And you shall receive that your joy may be full. Nothing more joyless or cheerless than unanswered prayer. I hate it. Don't you? Oh, God wants to answer our prayers. Amen. God wants to do for us so much more than he would ever want to withhold from us. Amen. Hallelujah. These words ask up there in verse 23. That word ask up there is request or beseech. It's request or beseech. He said, in that day you won't ask or request or beseech anything of me, Jesus said. I won't be here. Amen? But down here, he said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. That word ask is a different Greek word. And it is to demand something that is due, such as an inheritance. That's what that word is. To demand something that is due, such as an inheritance. Whatsoever ye shall demand that is due, such as your inheritance of the Father, in my name, he'll give it to you. That's what it says. It actually says, demand. Whatever you demand, whatever demand you place on Scripture, if you've got Scripture and you're a member of God's family, you have a right to place a demand on Scripture for that covenant promise. You are in covenant with God, aren't you? Well, God's a covenant keeper. Do you keep your end of the covenant? You try to, and when you blow it, do you plead the blood? That's keeping covenant. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins and our mistakes when we make them, that's keeping covenant. Isn't he good?
Amen.
Amen. When you blow it, repent, I'll restore you. That's your end of the covenant. Repent. This is not a license to sin. This is a license to repent. If you don't repent, you're not keeping covenant. You promised God when you gave him your life that you'd ask for forgiveness whenever you blew it. Now keep your end of the bargain. He'll keep his. You'll be able, even if you've blown it. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for all sin. Amen? I don't care how bad it was. I don't need to know. I can just look at you and tell it's probably pretty bad. Amen? Because you're like me. You got a belly button. Well, then you're as capable of sin as I am. Mistakes, amen? We try not to make them. We don't do it deliberately. But when we blow, we don't run from God. We run to him. That's what the covenant's all about. And once we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus of all sin, then we can place demand on Scripture again. God's not a punitive God. We don't have to do penance. The blood is sufficient. As soon as we get it under the blood, it's gone. And we tell the devil, we put up a sign that says, no fishing in the blood. Hallelujah. You go back to God and reconfess something you've already pleaded the blood over. You know what God says? Huh? That's what He says. Huh? You know what I did? Huh? He doesn't remember it. He chooses not to. He places our sins behind His back. One translation says He puts them between His shoulder blades. If you put a tennis ball behind your shoulder blades, a double dog dare you to turn around and see it. It can't be done. He puts our sins behind His shoulder blades where He can't see them anymore. He chooses to not see them. He chooses to look at the blood. Why? Because He is love. Because He loves you. Amen. Listen, we need to get rid of our sin consciousness and develop a worthiness consciousness, a righteousness consciousness, because He's made Him whom... This is good preaching. He's made Him who knew no sin because it's the Holy Ghost. Wait till I get to my notes. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That word righteousness is equity, innocence, and holiness. We have the same standing before God. Get a hold of this. We have the same standing before God as Jesus. When He looks at you, if you're born again, all He sees is Jesus. All He sees is the blood covering. That's all He sees. It's the right equity, innocence, and holiness. Jesus said in John 17:23. Anybody want to tell me what He said in John 17:23? One of the last things He prayed in the garden. He said, Father, show them what?
Love them as much as you love me.
That you love them as much as you love me. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you? I look in the mirror and I think, oh, how could it be true? But it is, because it's in the book. Amen. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We take it by faith. Oh, oh, He gave everything He had to get us back. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if He freely gave His Son to redeem us and restore us to a position of dignity and dominion before Him, why would He not freely give us all things with Him? He gave us His best in Christ. Why wouldn't He put tires on your car so you can get out and tell folks about it?
Amen.
It's a very good point, Sandy. That's a good point to say that. That's a good point. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a very good point. Amen. That's why Paul said, why wouldn't He freely give you everything else you need for your life to be a testimony of health and wealth in this earth so folks will want to join up? I ain't strapping nothing to myself and blow myself up for nobody. Amen. But I'll come up here. I'll blow in here and blow up and blow out with the gospel. Amen. God wants us to live. Not die. He wants our lives to be a testimony of health and wealth so the people in the world are attracted to the family. Amen? He's looking to build a family, an eternal forever family, who chose to surround Him through all of eternity as a conscious act of our own free will to praise Him and love Him forever. But that's what this is all about. He's building a family. Amen? Hallelujah. If I can go to Helen's house and she's offering me dinner, and somebody else offers me to go over to their house and says, we ain't getting nothing to eat, but we've got plenty of ice water. I'm going to Helen's. Amen? God, listen, God's that smart too. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me now up here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about demanding power. Amen? We're talking about demanding power. Jesus said, whatsoever you demand in my name, the Father will see to it that it comes to you. As long as it's legal, moral, and scriptural. That's what Jesus was talking about when He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So whatever you bind on earth will be backed up from heaven by my authority. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Or whatever you permit on earth will be permitted from heaven. It's up to you. It's not up to God. Whether you live in victory or defeat. Amen? We have to bind the devil. We can't pray and say, God, get the devil off of me, please. It's not how it works. We got to tell the devil, go in Jesus' name. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, then he will flee. If you're living a life of obedience to God, you can tell the devil to get off your body, get off your family, get off your finances, get off your tormented mind in Jesus' strong name, and he has to go. That is called demanding or commanding power. That's what God is saying in Isaiah 45:11 when he said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Open your mouth. Did you know Jeremiah 15:19 says, if you'll separate precious living from vile living, live right, that your mouth will be as God's mouth. Jeremiah 15:19, that's what he said. If you'll separate the precious from the vile, your mouth will be as my mouth. How about when you pay your tithes and your offerings? He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. How does he rebuke the devourer for your sake off your finances? By giving you the authority to do it. You tell the devil, you command, get your money, your hands off my money. Don't wait for God to do it. When he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake in Malachi chapter 3, down there around verse 12, he was saying, I'll do it through you if you'll separate the precious from the vile. Jeremiah 15:19, your mouth will be as my mouth. You tell the devil, get off your finances, get off my body, get off my family, get off my back and get off my case. He'll go. If you use the strong name of Jesus. You get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Get your hands off what's rightfully mine, Satan, in Jesus' name. I'm not waiting for God to do it. He said, God, he's done everything he's going to do. Everything he's going to do is sitting right there in your lap this morning. Right there in your lap. That book called the Precious Holy Written Word of God. Amen. Now we need to be rooting around in that thing like a pig in a pecan patch and finding out what God's agreed to do and then make application of it with the words of our mouth. That's how he does everything. That's how creation came about. 11 times in the book of Genesis alone it says, and God said, and it's still happening today. Amen. Paul said, as beloved children, be imitators of God thereof. Children talk like their parents, right? Don't they? Right or wrong, they imitate their parents. Well, God talks right. And when God says something, it comes to pass. And we're to imitate him as dear children. Find out what he's agreed to do and start saying it. It'll come to pass in your life. We'll talk about how a little bit more in a moment. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 16 real quick. Demanding power belongs to you as a believer. You have the right to take the power of God and use it as a snowplow and prevail in life and knock every obstacle out of your way in Jesus' name. But if you're waiting for God to do it, you might wait too late. You might just die prematurely. Amen? We must absolutely exercise our power of attorney in Christ if we want to live successfully in the earth. It's power of attorney. You know what power of attorney is? It's doing business on behalf of another in their name. That's what we're in the earth to do, aren't we? We're to do business on behalf of God in Jesus' name. Aren't we? Jesus said, occupy till I come. We're to take possession of this earth, win souls, heal the sick, cast out unclean spirits, preach the gospel until he comes, and then blow out of here with both barrels blazing. That's the will of God, for us to live and walk in authority in this earth. Amen? It's called the Great Commission. Do you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. I need a drink of water. Hallelujah. Are you there? Where did I ask you to go? Anybody know where we're going to start? Verse 15. Hallelujah. This belongs to you. Say, I'm a blood-washed believer. Whether I feel like it or not. Everybody can say ain't one time in church. Say, it ain't based on feelings.
It ain't based on feelings.
Okay, you used up your one time to say ain't. Mark 16:15, he said unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We believe that, don't we? Hallelujah. You don't have to be water baptized. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But water baptism is good. It's identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and it is a command. But you know what he's saying. Amen. And we believe it, don't we? He that believeth not shall be damned. We believe that, don't we? No problem there. Right? Well, how about right here in verse 17? These signs shall follow just the 12 apostles. No. These signs shall follow the 35 pairs of two from Luke chapter 10 alone. These signs will follow the combination of the 12 disciples in the 70, the 82 only. No, it says these signs shall follow them that believe. Fish, swim. Birds, fly. Believers, believe. Do you believe this? Are you a believer? These are the signs that are to be following you. In my name, they shall cast. That word is thrust. That's demanding power. They shall thrust out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. This is talk about persecution, not handling snakes to show you have faith. Amen? If you handle snakes to show you have faith, all you're doing is showing us your ignorance. Amen? Amen? If this is talking about handling snakes to show that you have more faith than other people, then the snake handlers of Burma in India, have more faith than any Christian I've ever known, because they do it better than any Christian, and they're not even born again. Amen? It's ridiculous to say that he's saying to prove you have faith. He's talking about persecution. They used to get thrown in snake pits for preaching the gospel. They used to be forced to drink hemlock for preaching the gospel. He said, if it comes to that, don't you worry about it. You have authority in the snake pit, and you have authority over the hemlock goblet. He's talking about persecution for the word. Amen? He's not talking about sheer stupidity for the word's sake. Amen? Look, if you take up serpents accidentally, drink any deadly thing even accidentally, it shall not hurt you. But you shall lay hands on the sick on purpose, if I may, and they shall recover. This is your authority as a believer. He said, these signs will fall. You don't have to call me if you have sickness now in your body, but you can. You can. But if you do, I'm just going to tell you to pray. I'm just going to say it's your fish, you reel it in. I'll agree. I'll tug on the line with you. But you need to learn how to use your faith. Call me all you want for prayer. But I'm just going to turn it as an opportunity to teach you how to further exercise your power of attorney while you're in the earth. Call away. You're welcome to. I encourage it. Hallelujah. I'll grab hold of you and I'll preach your whole message for an hour on the telephone. I'll get your faith so built up. You won't need to call me back. Amen? But you'd be glad you did call. Amen? You can do this! After the Lord had spoken this unto them, he was received up to heaven, sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and, whoo, they did just what he said. Preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed the word with signs following. Amen? Now, are you paying attention up here, or are you reading? You don't want to miss what the Holy Spirit's saying. Amen? Amen? Confirming the word with signs following. You can have signs following you. Signs ought to be following you. If they're not following you, something's wrong. And I'll give you one clue. It ain't God. Amen? You can command sickness to leave. Your life, your family's life, people who petition you for prayer. You can command poverty to go. You can command confusion to go. Frustration, go. You can command favor to come. It's a promise of God. Psalm 5:12, he said he'll surround the righteous. That's you if you're righteous in Christ. With favor is with a force field. In order for people to get to you, they'll have to penetrate your force field and they'll be predisposed to do you favors that they wouldn't do for anybody else. That's covenant. But you got to say favor. Say it now.
Favor.
Come.
In Jesus' name.
See, that's demanding the work of his hand. That's exercising power of attorney in Jesus' name. That's doing God's business in the earth in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. You can confess who you are in Christ and all you want and build up faith, but until we know how to release it, we're not going to live victoriously in the earth. Amen? Faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. Faith is released through the mouth. This is something you absolutely must do for yourself if you're going to live victoriously in the earth. Amen. I believe in fasting and praying. I believe in it. If you know me, you know how strongly I believe in it, in fasting and prayer. Sometimes it's time to fast and pray. Other times, it's time to eat and exercise power of attorney. Amen? Sometimes it's just time to just eat and believe God. Eat and speak your faith. Amen? I believe in building up faith through meditation in God's Word, times of fasting and prayer. Amen? I'll say it again. Those of you who know me, you know how strongly I believe in daily prayer, frequent fasting, as you're being led by the Holy Ghost now. Amen? We don't have to fast in the New Testament like they did in the Old. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. We do. It takes just small amounts of fasting, unless the Holy Spirit leads you in the New Testament to increase power with God. But you've got to do some. As you're led by the Holy Spirit, you've got to have a daily prayer time, and you've got to spend time in the Word. If you do, you'll be building up faith, and then you've got to open your mouth and release your faith and tell the devil, back off, commission the angels of God, go, 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 and bless my finances in Jesus' name, and they will do it. Does the Bible say that, Pastor John, that the angels of God will bless my finances? The Bible says in Psalm 35, 27, for you note takers who are taking notes and listening and not reading ahead of the pastor. Amen? 27. Psalm 35, 27. Maybe somebody should turn there real quick and read it to us. And then somebody else go to Psalm 103 because I think you'll like this. I know you will because it's God's Word. Somebody go to Psalm 35 and somebody go to Psalm 103. Hallelujah. Who would like to read to me, please? Preferably from the King James Bible. Amen? Who's at Psalm 35? You're at Psalm 35, Helen? Read to us nice and loud so the tape will pick it. The microphone will pick it up. 27, please.
Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure, please say pleasure, in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in the prosperity of, that's talking about material and financial prosperity, if you look it up. Did you get that? God has what?
Pleasure
in the prosperity of his children. Now, somebody's over there at Psalm 103, and verse 20 and 21 reveals something about the angels of God. Barbara, you go ahead and read it in the New King James and shout it for the room to hear.
Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word.
Heeding the voice of his word. Who gives voice to God's word in the earth?
We do.
We do. Go on, please.
Bless the Lord, all you his hosts.
His hosts, that's his angels. He hasn't changed the subject.
You ministers of his.
You ministers of his.
Who do his pleasure.
Woo! Who do his pleasure. God has pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. And the angels of God do his good pleasure. God has pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. And the angels of God do or perform his good pleasure. Now, we can't tell angels to bring money. Has anybody ever seen anybody in the Bible, an angel in the Bible, show up and deliver a bag of money? Have you ever heard of it happening in your life, in your personal history, or anywhere else in human history? Angels deliver. That's not true. I hear people pray, angels, bring me money. That's like saying, stop, bring me a baby. It doesn't work that way. But you can say angels cause money to come. They can't bring it to you, but they can cause your circumstances to line up to where it comes to you. Amen? God doesn't rain finances down from heaven. That's counterfeiting. He uses what's in the earth. Amen? Haggai 2:8, you note takers. See, there's just no time to read in these services. You've got to just take notes. Amen? Haggai 2:8 says, the silver and gold is mine. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, the cattle on 1,000 hills all belong to God. Everything, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in this earth belongs to God. And guess what else? Romans 8:17 says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs with Jesus. If you look it up, it doesn't say 50% His, 50% ours. It's 100% His, 100% ours. A joint heir shares not in part, but in whole. You could say the cattle on 1,000 hills is ours, if you'll use it for the gospel. You could say the gold and silver is yours, if you'll use it for the gospel. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah! It's His, it's ours, we're joint heirs with Jesus. But the idea is to use it for the gospel, to seek and save the lost. Luke 10:19, first, amen. Seek and save the lost. Destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8, number 2. And then finally, number 3, it is the will of God for us to live lives of abundance. Not just abundance, He said, I've come that you have, might have not just life, but that more abundantly. We need to pay attention to what we're eating. Amen? How are we doing here today? This is really good preaching. Don't miss it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go over here and see an example of Jesus putting this principle into operation. Amen? When we come out of prayer, believing that we've touched heaven, we need to do what Jesus did when He came out of prayer. 8-10 times in the Gospels, we find Jesus came down from the mountaintop. What was He doing up there? Everybody knows that. What was He doing up there? He came down from the mountain and performed the most astounding miracles in the history of humanity. But only after He came out of prayer. And He's our example in all things. This is why He said in John 14:12, He said, the works that I do, you'll do also, only greater works you'll do. But you're going to have to go to the mountaintop like Jesus did. Amen? You're going to have to pray like Jesus did. Now, God understands folks work full-time jobs and it's hard to pray. Amen? But if you're driving to work 10 or 15 minutes each way in the morning, that can be the biggest part of your prayer time. Shut that radio off. Shut those CDs off. Even if they're praising, glory in God. Amen. You need to pray. Because you need power. Amen. Some of the Christian radio stations right here on Cape Cod. For the love of Mike. And one session you're listening to Kenneth Hagin saying it's God's will to heal. 15 minutes later you're listening to somebody else say God never heals. 1 minute later you're listening to Kenneth Copeland say it's always God's will to prosper. And I won't name any other names except for the good guys. You hear somebody else say it's God's will to smite you with poverty just because He's God. That's just called getting all mixed up in your spirit and confusing you. Christian bookstores do that. I go into Christian bookstores and they got the full lineup of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin because it sells, baby. Big profit there. And then over here they got the big profit books that damn and condemn the faith teaching of those of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. They're selling conflicting doctrine for profit. I just kick the shelf over. Amen? Amen? If you don't believe it, don't propagate it. Particularly for profit, you'll be judged for that. Talking about praying in the car. Just because it's Christian, and they believe in the new birth, that's a good thing. But don't just have it because it's Christian radio. It's on all day long in the background. You're not even really paying attention to what's being said there. They're teaching your faith in one moment and unbelief the next, and you're not even realizing your spirit man's picking that up. It's no wonder you're confused and you don't know what to believe. Shut it off and pray in tongues and build up your own faith. In the car, you can pray in the car. It's a spiritual exercise. It's not a natural exercise. You can pray in tongues and drive in the car, and it's just as good as if you were not driving in the car. You're on your face on the carpet praying in tongues because it's coming out of your spirit. Whew. It just keeps getting better and better. It's a spiritual exercise. That's why you can read your Bible and pray in tongues. You can sit there and read your Bible and pray in tongues silently. While you're reading and not miss a beat. Because it's not coming out of your head like reading is an intellectual endeavor. Praying in the Spirit is a spiritual endeavor. You can pray out of your spirit while you're driving in your car. What are we talking about in here today? We're talking about demanding power. Amen? You got to have a prayer time. Jesus would come down from the mountain in a prayer and operate in the most astounding supernatural things. He said, you can do the same thing, but you got to do it the way that I do it. Go to John chapter 11. Amen. Oh, man, am I taking a run at you today? You know why? I want to see you operating in this. Amen. Here, one of his most beloved friends just up and died one day. Lazarus. Amen. Jesus didn't go running to God when Lazarus died, did he? He didn't go running to God. He didn't go running to God and say, oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help Lazarus. Oh, God, why? Did he? He went to Lazarus and took authority himself in the situation. Here's how it works. Amen. He stood right there and set an example of demanding power for everybody in that cemetery that day. Amen. Are you there? Well, just for time's sake, we'll just jump down to verse 39. Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for four stinking days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Look at verse 41. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. He told her, believe, honey. Just stand there and believe with me now. Don't mess this up. He lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's already prayed about this before the Father. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. The things he's saying, he's teaching them, and he's telling the Father, I'm not contradicting my prayer, Father, you know that. I'm talking to these people now, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Here he comes, commanding the work of God's hand. Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Let me hear you say, loose me.
Loose me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I bet they did. I bet they did. Amen. Fast and pray all you want, but until you release that anointing, you're laboring for nothing. Amen? We fast and we pray to build up demanding power, and then we come out of prayer and we use it. Amen? Look at over there to John chapter 3. I want to show you an example of Jesus' disciples doing it. Somebody said, but we can't do that, Pastor. We can't do that. Well, tell that to Jesus' disciples. Tell that to Jesus. Amen? Acts chapter 3, if you would. Amen? Acts chapter 3, this is the first definite exercise of demanding power after Jesus' ascension. This is the first definite exercise of power of attorney in operation after Jesus' ascension. And look what happened right here. Hallelujah. We're going to go quickly. Are you there? Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, looking for some change, of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, I want to just say something right here, if I may. Amen. See, it says the ninth hour of prayer. I think it's important to hold on a second here. And this is what the Holy Spirit's showing me to do. It's the ninth hour. The day began at 6 in the morning. 9 hours later is what time? 3 in the afternoon? Whatever it was, amen. It was the ninth hour. Whatever time it was, the Jews prayed 3 times a day. They prayed at 6 o'clock in the morning, they prayed at 12 o'clock noontime, and they prayed at 3 in the afternoon. And the disciples kept this practice up. The Jews still believe today that that's a tradition that started with Abraham prayed in the morning, Isaac prayed at midday, and Jacob prayed in late afternoon, 6, 12, and whatever it was, 9, 12, and 3. Amen. They believed that that came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wherever it came from, the disciples were doing it. They were going back there to pray again. They had already been there praying twice that day. They were praying prayers. Amen. Okay, so I pointed it out. Thank you, Lord. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You can pray in the calm, build up demanding power. Amen. Did you get what I said about conflicting doctrine on the radio? Amen. They mean well. We're not putting anybody down. Amen. We're trying to build you up. That'll mess you up. Shut it off. Make sure you know what you're listening to, or shut it down. Just because it's Christian doesn't mean it's going to help you. Okay. He fastened his eyes upon the man, Peter did, with John, and said, "Look on us!" And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, see, look what the key right there, expecting to receive. Do you expect to receive? Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He wasn't broke. He was a prosperous fisherman. He was a small businessman. He made a fortune. Amen. He had no money on him. He wasn't going shopping. He's going praying. Amen. Hallelujah. "But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." What did he have to give him? Power of attorney. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Are you saying we can do this with the sick everywhere we go? We can go clean out hospitals, Pastor? Not that the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you that way. You can't. There was a special anointing for this. Now, we just covered all nine gifts of the Spirit in the past 12 weeks. We saw that the power gifts are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. There has to be a special anointing for something like this. But it wouldn't have worked if they didn't use demanding power. You can use demanding power. Sometimes these things will happen. But we just read over there in Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20, the average believer will lay hands on the sick and they won't be instantly healed. They will what? They will recover. Recovery speaks of progression. Just because I lay hands on Barbara, she's not healed immediately, doesn't mean that she didn't begin the recovery process and the power didn't go in. When you take an aspirin for a headache, as soon as it hits your belly, boom, the headache's gone, isn't it? No, it takes time to get into your system. Sometimes it takes time for the power of God to get into your system and work its way out from the inside. But he did say you would recover. So many times we pray for people who are sick. We pray for people who are sick and we talk to them outside the door after church. And we say, "You believe you received?" They say, "Well, I hope so." We say, "You just canceled the prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said?" Sometimes we pray for people. We pray for people. Jesus said, "You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover." We stand out in the hallway. Say, "Do you believe you received?" They say, "I hope so." Well, we're believing you did. You're hoping you did. That's not agreement. You got to believe the power went in you and that it's working in you now. He said you will recover. Tell the devil, "Get the sickness off me in Jesus' name." And forget this baloney of, "Oh, well, God's using it to teach me something." 2 Timothy 3:16 says that God uses the word to teach, not sickness and disease. Sickness is a curse of the law. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. That's the problem. We covered a lot of ground in here today. But you're getting something, aren't you? It's going into your spirit. That's the problem. When you don't read Deuteronomy 28 and see what's a curse of the law and what, you know, what's a curse of disobedience and what's a blessing of obedience, if you don't bother getting in that chapter and reading what God has agreed to do and what He's not agreed to do, you're never going to know if sickness is the will of God or not, if prosperity is the will of God or not. Did you get that? It's all in there in Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, He said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Amen. There's so many other ways we could go here, but we don't have time. Let me just say this to you. You write this in your notes. If it's concerning your family's salvation, stop begging and pleading and whining for God to save Bubby, or whatever you call him. Honey, baby doll, Mary, Mary Kate, Bobby, whoever your loved one is, if you're believing for that salvation, don't ever pray for that salvation again. Ask God to save one time, never pray for that salvation again. But you know what you need to do? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, if somebody's eyes are being blinded to the gospel of light, Satan, the small god, small g of this world, is doing it. Well, guess what? If you've got authority over Satan and he's blinding your loved one's eyes to the gospel, what do you need to be doing about it? Binding him. Go in Jesus' strong name. And then just begin to rejoice and thank God for that salvation. Also, praise God for sending laborers to preach the gospel in a way that they'd understand it. Because, put it in your notes, Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to the harvest. Ask God to send gospel laborers to them. And then leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. And just love them. Just love them. Just love them. And let God get the preachers to them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me just say it to you for them. If you've been riding the back of your loved one to try to get them saved because you're all concerned they're going to go to hell, Acts 16:31 says, if you believe, they'll believe too ultimately. They won't go to hell. So let me stand in for your loved one by proxy this morning. If you've been harassing your loved one to get saved, I'm going to speak a word on their behalf this morning. I'm going to stand in for them by proxy, and I'm going to ask you, please, get off my back! How's that? Leave them with God. He said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast every care upon me because I care for you. I'll get them saved. You just praise me for laborers. Tell the devil, back off them. You can't harass them. You can't have them. They're going to heaven with me whether you like it or not. Amen? And that's all there is to it. Amen? Same with sickness in your body. Tell the devil. Don't pray to God, get it off. Get it off. Get it off. I don't think I can take it anymore. I love acting. Tell the devil, get the sickness off me. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore my sins in his body on the cross, that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. By his stripes I am healed. Sickness, go! We're talking about demanding power. God said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Direct the power where you need it to flow. Expect it to, and it will. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. We're believers. Believers believe. Amen? You got to have a prayer life, amen? And you got to go to church. Ephesians 4:11 says that God's given apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body, and to build the body up to do the work of the ministry. You can't be a charismatic. You got to be a charismatic. You got to find where God wants you. Get under the Word and sit there. There's no lone rangers in Christianity. If you float around from church to church, you're not under a pastor. When God commands everyone, including pastors, to be under pastors, and you defy that, Satan's not going to listen to you. He doesn't have to obey the disobedient. Amen? There's no lone rangers when it comes to commanding power. If you want to float around, not go to church, not lock in where God wants you to be, and you think you're going to tell the devil what to be, what to do, where to go, where to get off, and you're the lone ranger, he's just going to look at you, look at the demon next to him and say, who was that masked man? Amen? You got to obey God. Amen? Amen? You've got to behave responsibly. Amen? You don't want to act responsibly. There's no privileges, Kemosabe. Amen? That's what some Christians want. They want all the benefits and none of the responsibility. And that's why people die tragically. That's why people die prematurely. And then people, my God, she loved you, God. Yeah, but she was disobedient. You can't love God apart from His Word. You can't know God apart from His Word. Stand up. You can't walk with God apart from His Word. Amen? He made you. Stand up if you would, please. Hallelujah. He made you. He owned you. He has a right to command you. And me. Amen? That's why I'm here every Sunday. People say to me, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it Sunday. And I say, that's okay. I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it either. Convicts them every time. Amen. They usually show up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this today? One of the major reasons we're not seeing the gifts in operation in the body of Christ like God wants us to. So many people act irresponsibly. They don't want to lock into church. They don't want to lock into prayer. They don't want to take time to meditate on God's Word. Amen? But this is what it's going to take. It's what it took for Jesus. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. This will work for you if you'll apply it. Amen? 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are you in the world. And listen, Jesus isn't sick, is He? He's not broke, is He? Is He confused? Is he disobedient? No. Is he a church skipper? Uh-huh. Does he lay in on Sunday morning? Lakeside Assembly? The Bible says in Hebrews 5:8 that Jesus Christ learned obedience by the thing. You got to look at that in your Bible. Jesus Christ is a human being, learned obedience by the things he suffered. Sometimes it takes a little suffering to get your shuffling self up out of bed and put your shoes on, do something about that mop on top of your head, and get yourself to church. How about? Baba wakes up with bedhead and I say, would you like a bucket for that mop? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship. She knows I love her. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell her, I don't care if you don't want me, I'm yours.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, we praise you for what we've heard here today. We thank you, Lord, that we have dominion over Satan and dignity before you. Thank you, Lord, for power of eternity. Same bringe siki pero do. Abrande ki pero framba ke te siki pero do. Bro, Brahma, So step forth, says the Spirit of grace, and exercise your God-given authority. Exercise it by faith, expecting it to work, and you will see signs, and you will see wonders follow you everywhere you go, says the Spirit of God. For I've not given you the spirit of fear, so prede sikitero de, but I've given you power and love and a sound mind in Christ Jesus. So go forth, says the Spirit of grace. Set the captives free. Don't wait for me to do what I've ordained and commissioned you to do. Go forth and set the captives free. Go forth. Cast out unclean spirits. Go forth and heal the sick. Speak to your finances. Speak to your family in the spirit realm. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them in Jesus' strong name, and you will see supernatural results, says the Spirit of grace. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Let's just worship God for a moment here as we're going to sing a song and we're going to dismiss. Glory be to God. Just worship Him for a moment. We'll just make sure that we're finished here today. We don't want to just dismiss too abruptly if God's not through. If someone has a tongue and an interpretation, if someone has a prophetic utterance, if you'd like to give it, this would be a good time to do that. If maybe you're seeing something through the eyes of your spirit that you feel that the Lord would have you share with the congregation that would encourage us and glorify God, this is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This would be your time to step forth. Someone has one word, just speak it forth. You feel you have something, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saberuga sedipiradishte, just worship God, worship God, worship God. Subarando segi peredege, and so you see from my word, says the Spirit of grace, that indeed I have given you power. So progoshtiki peredeshte, power, power over serpents and scorpions, which are symbolic of Satan and demon powers and demon spirits. Pronde seki peroda segi peredeshte, but you must step forth. You must step forth by faith. You must step forth by faith. So prende, cambre, quebra, osta, cambre, isto, compre, and address your circumstances, yes, even the devil, according to my word, in the name of Jesus, and expect results. Bro, so prende, expect results. Brande, seke perota, hambre, coseteke, expect. And you will see exceeding greatness in your life, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Address the devil. Address your circumstances according to the Word of God. He said, and expect results, and you will see results. That's the key to walking in dominion, walking in authority in this earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's, hallelujah.